I bet it was Wakesell. I heard what he said last Sunday morning. Stabbed me in the back while I was gone. Amen. I enjoyed it. I listened to the tape and I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now I want to read a few verses of scripture here this morning and bring you a message that I believe the Lord's put on my heart. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And we'll ask you to have just as little moving around as possible this morning. Make sure everyone can hear. I was going to read, or thought I had some scripture in Exodus, but I'll not read that this morning for the sake of time. We'll move right on into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The scripture that I was going to read to you in Exodus talked about Moses. When the Lord called Moses to preach and told him to go preach, his excuse was, I can't speak well. Moses had a speech impediment and he couldn't talk plain. And so he said, Lord, I can't preach because I can't talk plain, and a preacher needs to be able to talk plain. And of course you know how the Lord said, well, I've made man's mouth, and he gave him Aaron to talk for him and took away Moses' excuse. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see another great man in the Bible who also had a problem. Now, if you got problems this morning, don't feel like you're by yourself. You're in good company. I could ask a dumb question and say, anybody here got problems? But that would be a dumb question. Now, the devil's job, when you have problems, is to convince you that your problems are worse than anybody else's, and nobody's having it as bad as you are, and therefore give you an excuse to just to forget about the Lord and not live right. That's his job. His job is to convince you that your situation is different. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And Paul said here he had a problem here, and he prayed about it, and the Lord didn't change anything. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. We are not told what that thorn is, but it says the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And somebody said, now, Paul, if you had enough faith, if you just pray, God would take that thorn away. Paul, you must have sin in your life, because if you was as right as I am, then you wouldn't have problems like that. And them name it, claim it crowd come around and said, Paul couldn't be right with the Lord. If I had that thorn, I'd just claim faith and the Lord would take it away. But you know what God said? You look the next verse, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, Paul, I am not going to change it. You're going to learn to live with it. Now, folks, we just might as well face it this morning, and I hate to say this as much as you hate to hear it. There are some things in our lives that it's not that God can't fix them, but there are some things in our life that God ain't going to fix. Is he mean to us? No, he wants us to learn how to live with it. You say, I thought if I was a Christian, I could just believe anything, God would do anything. Well, I'm going to talk to you about some cases where that don't work this morning. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, overcoming handicaps. It seems like God's people, all down through the ages, have been plagued with one kind of handicap, or in one way or another. A lot of times, and especially nowadays, when they're doing a lot of good things for handicapped people who are handicapped physically, and designating parking places and things like that, which is wonderful. It's a good idea. We seem to think that since we don't have to park in a special parking place, that we're what we call normal. Now, I want to show you this morning that every one of us is handicapped in some way or another. Yours may not be what mine is. Mine might not be what yours is. But everybody has something to stop them and get in their way and obstacles and something to discourage them from serving God. Have you ever looked at some person and secretly envied them in your heart and said, they got it made. If I had their position and their money or their house or their job, if I had it made like so-and-so, why, I'd do a lot. I'd live right. You might look at one of these young people and say, well, they ain't got a care in the world. If I was young and free and I'd just live for God. Same time, they're looking at some of you mamas and daddies and they say, well, good enough. They don't have to go to school. They don't have to do this. Everybody's looking at everybody else thinking that they all got it made. When in reality, every one of us has something to stop us from living right. And I don't care who you are, the minute you start trying to do right, you're going to run into something to discourage you. That's an obstacle, or in the case this morning, I'm going to call it a handicap. Now, this message is not to get us all to feel sorry for ourselves, but it's to show how God gets the glory when we overcome our handicaps and serve Him anyway. If there were no problems, if we didn't have any problems at all, why, good night, we'd just say, woo, it's wonderful to live for God and go on about it, and we'd get spoiled. But all of us have enough problems to hold us back so that we have to overcome something in order to serve God. That's what makes a lot of people drop out. They think that everything's supposed to just fall right into place, and just because you're wanting to live right, that you're just supposed to take every step and hit solid, and nothing bad's ever supposed to happen. You're never supposed to have any problems at church. You're never supposed to have any problems in your home. You are in for a great shock if you believe that. You're going to catch it, man. You're going to catch it. Two of the greatest men in the Bible had these problems. Moses, we're told what his is, and we're told what Paul's is, the messenger of Satan. We don't know exactly, but Moses couldn't talk plain. And you know, not being able to talk plain is a hard problem for a preacher. And since you talk all the time, you want to be able to talk where people can understand you. And Moses couldn't do it. Now the Lord said, Moses, all I'd have to do is just go zap and give you a brand new mouth. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to help you with that mouth of yours. Now, the Lord does that, and we need to understand how that God don't always fix our problem, but God will give us grace to overcome that thing if we want to live for Him bad enough. I'll tell you, brother, some people got a healthy body. You ever see anybody that's healthy and they got a lot of strength and you're just envying them and saying, boy, I feel bad all the time. It's my back or it's my head or it's my ingrown toenails or it's my problems about my sinuses or my rheumatism or my arthritis. And you say, boy, if I had that healthy body, but yeah, look what a brain that person's got. They like a brick having a full load. I mean, their elevator don't go all the way up. They're a little flaky, and the devil gets them in that area. Here's another guy, he's sharp as a tack, but he can't walk straight, and his body gives him all kinds of problems. You say, well, I know somebody that's got a good body and a good brain. Yeah, but have you ever knew their wife? Here's a guy that's got a good body and a good brain, and his wife is like living with 90 demons. Here's a lady that's got a good brain and makes good money and even has a pretty figure, but her husband, man, is unbearable. She can't live with it. Everybody you can show me, I can show you something in their life. If you're around them long enough, they got just as big a problem as you've got. It just ain't the same problem you've got. Here's one man, he can ride by the liquor store up here, and it don't bother him one bit. He can just, and just go on about his business. But the devil's got something else that gets him. Here's another guy that's not bothered with that temptation, but every time he drives by the liquor store, it's like a magnet's pulling him over there, and man, he can feel his mouth just drooling for that stuff. Don't feel bad. Everybody's got something that messes them up. Your job is to learn to overcome your handicap and do something for God anyway. Some great disappointment in life. Maybe things haven't turned out like you thought they would. Maybe you've had the unfortunate experience of a broken home or a divorce. Maybe you have a kid that's disappointed you and wound up on drugs or in trouble with the law. And maybe you don't have any talent to use. And maybe you see all these people. Listen, somebody with a lot of talent is more handicapped than you are. Because if you've got a lot of talent, the devil will make sure he gets you, because he wants to use you out there in the world. And so you people that's got like musical talent, or you've got physical abilities or athletic or something, you really got a problem. Because the devil's going to be laying a trap for you to deceive you, to keep you from living for God. We've all got something that will keep us down. All you ladies that are beautiful, not the ones that think you are, the ones that really are, you've got a problem, sister. You've got a real problem. You're going to have all kinds of problems throughout your life that these ugly sisters don't have. Really? You don't never know. You know what the problem in being a pretty girl is? The problem in being a pretty girl is you don't never know if somebody's telling you the truth or not. And 99 times out of 100, they're lying to you. I feel sorry for you, and you poor little pitiful thing. You say, boy, when I walk down the hall, they all look at me. You nut, that's the worst problem a girl can have. Amen. You don't understand that now. You teenagers don't understand that. But one of these days, you'll see what I'm saying. You got a problem. Anybody in here could stand up, and if I knew you for an hour, I could tell you what a big problem you've got. You say, Brother Danny, you ain't got no problems. You just don't know what you're talking about. I'm awful handicapped in a lot of different ways. But I've made up my mind that by the grace of God, I'm going to say, Lord, whatever gets in front of me, I'm going to try to get over it and go on and do something for you anyway. If I have to come in on crutches, if I have to come in limping or dragging one of my legs, I want to cross the goal line and be crowned when we walk over one of these days on the other side. Now, you don't have no excuse for not living right. You do not have one excuse in the world. I know you make them up. I say, why aren't you living for God? Well, because of this, and well, because of that. Well, yeah, and I hear you. And God has not let one thing come in your life that you could not get over and overcome it if you want to bad enough. I know what you're saying, Brother Danny. Why don't God just make it easy on all of us and just fix that thing? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Usually, you have one thing in your life that just aggravates a fire out of you. And you'll say, Lord, if it wasn't for this, I'd be dangerous. God, you know why I ain't living right, God. It's because of this. When God caught up with Adam in the Garden of Eden, what did Adam say? Adam, why'd you eat that fruit? The woman that you gave me, Lord. He was almost trying to blame it on the Lord there. Did you notice that? He said, the woman that thou gavest to me. In other words, like, if you hadn't given her to me, I wouldn't be in this mess. And then Eve, why'd you eat the fruit? The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Everybody has their reasons why they don't live for God. Everybody's got their excuses. But I'm going to show you some things this morning that's going to knock the excuses out from under you and show you this morning that you do not have an excuse. You don't have one. Why has God let you have handicaps? First of all, to keep you humble. In other words, so you won't get too big for your britches. You know what Paul said? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, if I didn't have this thorn, Lord, I could see a great revival come in our day. Paul said, Lord, if you would just remove this thorn, God, I can do great things. God, just take it out. And the Lord said, I believe my judgment is to leave it there, Paul. And Paul got the message, and he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, if God had fixed Paul's thorn in the flesh, Paul would have gotten the big head and thought he's better than everybody else. And sometimes God gives you enough problems so you won't get the big head and start thinking you better than the brother over here or better than the sister over there. The Lord will let you keep just enough fleas to remind you you're a dog. The Lord will just let you keep enough things wrong in your life so that you can't look down your nose at somebody else and say, well, I'm better than you are. And whatever God has to do to get this message through to you, if He done it to Paul, He'll do it to me and you. So if you're getting to where you think you're a little bit better than everybody else, you better watch out. God's getting ready to cripple you. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When the Lord takes a notion to knock your feet out from under you, He don't have to strain Himself to do it. Secondly, the second reason the Lord lets us have handicaps is to help us understand grace. See, Joshua, when it come time to march around the walls of Jericho, they immediately said, boy, we gonna get them, ain't we, Josh? And he said, yeah, come on, boys. They said, how are we gonna get them big walls down? And he said, the Lord said, march. Now all you guys get behind me, and all we're gonna do is march. We're going around them walls. We're going around them once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, we're going seven, making a total of 13. And we're going to walk around them walls. And they said, but Joshua, don't you think now that we ought to get together on this thing and hook some ropes over them towers and get everybody to pulling and pull them walls down? Don't you think we ought to go get us a cannon somewhere and bring out the heavy artillery and start shooting and knocking them walls down? And he said, no, fellas, that ain't the way God wants us to do it. God wants us to just march and let Him fight the battle. God wants us to just stand back and watch Him. Now, a lot of times that's the reason the Lord leads things in our life. If you are constantly fighting against your problem in your life, you may not be doing what God wants you to do. God may want you just to forget about it and march on for Him and let Him knock the walls down. I mean, y'all know the story I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you got a little blank stare on your face. I don't know if you're just not listening, you're on LSD or what, but let me explain it to you. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Joshua. And you might be like that little boy that the teacher taught him on this one Sunday morning and said, now, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Who done it, Johnny? And little Johnny said, I didn't. Teacher ran out and Johnny's daddy and said, you're a little boy. He just embarrassed me to death in our Sunday school class a minute ago. Said, I asked him who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and he said he didn't. And her daddy looked back at the teacher and said, now, ma'am, I'm sorry for little Johnny. Said, little Johnny ain't too smart, but I'll tell you one thing. He's honest, and if he said he didn't, he didn't. But you know the story. They marched around the walls. The Lord knocked the walls down, and they won a great victory. Daniel did not get delivered from the lion's den. He got delivered through the lion's den. What if you'd have been an angel and they'd have been getting ready to throw you in? Oh God, I thought you was going to deliver me. Oh God, please, no, Lord. In the bottom of the den. Now we might think, oh man, the Lord sure let him down, didn't he? Sometimes God gets more glory not to keep us out of the lion's den, but God gets the glory preserving us through the lion's den. I've had problems in my life come up one time and another and different things, and you know, our building program and all. You know, and I've had not many problems compared to a lot of people, but the Lord's let me have a few. And the first thing I think is, Lord, you could have stopped this from happening. Why didn't you? And right there, if you're not real careful, it'll be a big temptation for you to get bitter and think God done made a mistake in your life. And I said, God, why is this happening? God, please, God. And the Lord says, yeah, I can stop it. And I said, but why don't you? He said, the same reason I didn't stop Daniel from going to the lion's den. And he says, Danny, I'm going to get more glory by you going through the lion's den than I would be keeping you from having to go there. Because when the lost world looks at me and you, they look back and they say, man, there's a real Christian. If me and you never had no problems and never had no burdens and bad things didn't happen to us, we wouldn't have much of a testimony. I'll guarantee you I'm talking to somebody that cried herself to sleep one night this week. I'll guarantee you somebody in this room this morning is right now in the process of separation and losing your marriage. I don't know that, but I'd say of this many people, I'll about guarantee it. Somebody in here is worried about a loved one. You've got a friend or a brother or sister in the hospital dying with cancer. You've got a real problem. Let me just encourage you to overcome it. The third reason the Lord lets us have handicaps is that His power may rest upon us. You know that? See, when we're out to do something for God, like our church here. Now, did you know our church is famous for all the problems we've had? And that's good. That's wonderful. Because way down in South Carolina, up in Michigan, in Florida, in Texas, when a problem comes up, they say, well, you know how old Brother Danny Castle and them people done up there in Marion. And did you know, when we had all our problems in the building program and we had the trusses and they crashed in and all that stuff, did you know God used that for His glory? That day I was standing out there on the street and there was ambulance coming in here and newspaper reporters and police cars, and it looked like, man, the ball game was just over and people come from everywhere. And I was standing right out there on the street and I was looking back at this building and I couldn't hold the tears back and I began to cry. I thought, God, what in the world is going on? And at the time, I didn't see how anything good could come out of that. But I could stand here and tell you one thing right after another that come out of that. Hindsight's better than foresight, brother. And one of these days when we get up to glory, see, our life's like a puzzle now. If you got a puzzle, and I despise puzzles, don't you ever buy me a puzzle. So I can understand why in the world anybody with good sense would sit and work a puzzle. Now, if you do, I ain't got nothing against you. To me, man, you must be crazy or something. Nothing personal with you. I just think you're cuckoo. Why don't just buy you a picture? But that's neither here nor there, but our life is like that. You pick up a piece of puzzle, and I guess I just ain't got the brains to figure one out or something. I don't know. I just don't like them. And you look at one piece, and it's just a little brown, a little green with a little streak on it or something. And that don't make a bit of sense. One of these days, when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to have all them pieces fit together, and you're going to see a big, beautiful picture that He's made out of your life. So hang in there. Don't get so discouraged. And have something down inside of you that'll say, I will not quit. I like that little sign Brother Steve used to have up there in the tape room. I don't know why he wrote it. Maybe he's preaching to himself. Maybe for somebody else. I don't know. But he wrote a little sign up there on a little tape label and it said, stick with it no matter what. I thought about that a lot of times. Sometimes you don't want to come to church. Sometimes you don't want to read your Bible. Sometimes you don't want to pray. It's at that time when you have got to make up your mind, God, I'm going on with you anyhow.
If my brother quits, I'm going on. If my sister quits, I'm going on. If the brethren don't like me, I'm going on. If somebody talks about me, I'm going on. If things don't turn out right, I'm going on. If people ridicule me, I'm going on. If I have problems with my kids, I'm going on. If I have problems with my job, I'm going on. If I have problems, I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. And God will bless you if you'll put that attitude in your heart. I mean, burn your bridges behind you. Make up your mind. You're going to live right and have no reservations in your mind of turning back. Burn them bridges. And God will get the glory. They say the size of a dog in a fight ain't nearly as important as the size of the fight in the dog. The last thing is that you may be strong. Let me tell you about some people that overcome handicaps and done something. All these are not Christians, but they overcome their handicaps, and it illustrates a point. There's a young man that was almost totally deaf from childhood. He invented the phonograph at 30 years old. He invented the electric light, microphone. Had 100 inventions before he died. His name was Thomas Edison. Sir Walter Scott was crippled. Theodore Roosevelt had asthma. In 1895, years ago, in France, they had the Society of Artists who used to meet every year. And they would bring paintings, and they would pick out one painting that won the grand prize, the most beautiful, magnificent picture of all. You know who the winner was that year? A lady named Frances. You say, well, Brother Danny, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal is she didn't have no hands. Now, how many of us would want to be a painter if we didn't have no hands? You see, we're always hunting excuses. Well, I can't do this because of that. And I can't really live right because of this. And I just can't live right, Lord. And all that is, man, this lady stuck a brush in her mouth and began to... I don't know how she drawed clouds and stuff and trees. And not just had a painting good enough to enter, she won! You know what that shows me? If a person will set their mind to it, they can do anything. And I'm talking about secular things here. You think about with God on your side. Hallelujah. I believe this morning, if we'll make up our mind, set our eyes on the goal, say, God, I'm going through by your grace, they ain't nothing can stop us. They ain't nothing can stop you from living for God. Make up your mind, come hell or high water, or rough times, or bad times, or evil times, or good times, that you're going to sail on. And the Lord will take you through. Well, Brother Danny, things ain't going like I... Well, big deal. Go on anyway. You say, well, Brother Danny, this happened in my home, and this happened in my marriage, and this happened in my kids, and this happened at school, and this... Well, forget about it and go on and do something for God. Get out there and witness to somebody. Tell somebody that Jesus saves. Get your mind off your problems and live for Jesus, and the Lord will straighten out your problems. And if He don't, live with it. Nancy Murphy had polio when she was 10 years old and had to walk on crutches. 4 years later, she was a swimming champion when she was 14 and the national swimming champion at 19. Well, preacher, I don't read my Bible because I just can't read good. I'm a slow reader. Brother Danny, I just don't witness because I just don't have the ability to do it. I can't think of nothing to say, and I don't know. And I want to say something right here this morning and give you one illustration and I'm through. Did you know success is not measured by how far you get in life in God's eyes? Success in God's eyes is not measured by how far you get.
Your success is measured by the obstacles you overcome in getting where you got. See, the Lord takes that into consideration. He don't look down and say, how far did they go down there at New Manna? He said, what have they overcome to get there before He crowns? Success is 95% preparation, 5% education. They said the fellow that started Holiday Inn got fired from his job, and he was getting old and didn't hardly have nothing. And at being an older man, started a business with two buildings, and of course, within a few years, became a multi-millionaire. Now, if a man out there in the world can do that, don't tell me with God Almighty behind you that you can't live the Christian life at McDowell High School or at Burlington or Baxter or at East Marion or Cross Cotton Mill. You can do it, folks. You can do it if you will not let your handicaps get you down. I read about a fellow out in Kansas. And he loved the Bible. He read the Bible all the time. And he said, he was like this one fellow, he said, I'm only an average man, but I will work harder than the average man. And you'll notice that anybody who's a success out there in the business world, you know why? They're scrappers, man. They get up and get it. They don't lay in the bed. They ain't like one of these guys that's been hunting a job for 5 years. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. If you're out of work, I pray for you, the Lord, to find you a job. There's something wrong with somebody that can't find a job in 5 years, brother. Amen? Brother, it's time that we got up and done something, not only physically but spiritually for God. And this fella had a terrible accident and some chemicals and stuff blew up in his face. He lost both of his hands. He lost his eyesight. His face was just totally and they said, just let me feel it. And they said, you can't feel it. You don't have no nerve endings in what you got left there in those nubs. And he said, well, bring me my Bible and let me kiss it. He said, just let me kiss it before you take it away. And they brought him his Bible. He didn't have no feelings in his lips or nothing. He was just totally numb. And right when they brought him his Bible, he just went. And when he done that, his tongue, right on the tip of his tongue, he could feel it. He said, wait a minute, I felt it. Wait, I felt it. And they said, you got a little bit of feeling on the tip end of your tongue. And he had those guys to get him a Bible in Braille, you know, the raised letters, and learn from scratch to read his Bible with his tongue. And he could just run the tip of his tongue over those letters and tell what they was. In the beginning, God created. You said, Brother Danny, that was rough, wasn't it? What, don't you think most people just said, well, ho-hum. I mean, you people in here this morning, you got 20/20 vision and a healthy body and don't even have a headache and you won't pick that Bible up and read it. Last I heard of him, he had read his Bible through 4 times with his tongue. And so don't come to me with all your excuses, folks. You can do what you'll set your mind to do. Now, when the Lord lets something come in your life, maybe you got a bunch of friends that you think, well, I can't live right. Them friends, they'd talk about me and everything. Oh, you'll be all right. You'll live. Get up and walk down here to this altar and say, God, I'm going to live for you regardless. You got to grow up sometime. Life ain't a picnic, brother. We all got problems. We all got burdens. But our problems and burdens is no excuse for us not to be doing right. Amen? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, I've tried this morning to knock the props out from under you if you're using something for an excuse not to live for God. We're going to have a song in just a moment. Maybe there's somebody here. Say, Brother Danny, I've got a lot of problems in my life. And there are definitely things trying to stop me from doing right. But I'm going to come to the altar this morning and I'm going to lay them things down on the altar. And if God don't fix them, I'm just going to go ahead and live for Him anyway. You just come on right now. Dear Lord, do what ought to be done now in this invitation. Help that one who's been struggling with a problem, Lord, to come and lay it at the feet of Jesus, knowing that You'll love them and You'll be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Thank God for these that are coming. Others may need to come. You need to come. You say, "Oh, Brother Danny, I got a big problem." Well, you got a big God too. And the Lord will help you. I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you that the Lord will straighten out all your problems. But He won't do it. He'll leave you just enough to keep you humble, keep you graceful, and let His power rest on you. You need to come. Come on right now.
Just as I am without
Amen.
One plea.
Amen. Come on.
But that Amen. Thy blood was shed
That's right.
for me.
Let the Lord help you this morning.
And that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I
How we sing. How we sing, won't you come? Come on right now.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood
Amen.
To Thee.
Amen.
Whose blood God, I come.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer right quickly. We're going to pray with these on the altar. Maybe there's somebody else here this morning. I want to ask you something. Why are you not living for the Lord? Oh, well, because of this, because of that. Well, the Lord said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." When you're weak, then you're strong. Why don't you let Him fix it? You say, "Well, Brother Danny, what if He don't fix it?" He'll give you grace to live through it. That's all there are to it. You don't have no excuse. I don't have no excuse. I've tried to make them, but really I know I ain't got one. It's time we faced it. You're going to have to face it at the judgment. Why don't you face it now? Dear Lord, do for these and to these and with these what needs to be done right now. God, these that are having problems, I pray You'd be with them. I pray, God, that You'd move upon them. Lord, I don't know what their need is. God, some of them probably going through troubles and trials that would be just unbelievable to the rest of us. Oh, God, give them strength. Please, dear God, give them strength. Give them courage. Give them grace and power to live for Thee. Oh, Lord, help us in the days ahead never to look back, but to sail on, sail on, sail on. Overcome our handicaps and live for Thee until that day when we go to live with Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. We love You. Amen.